Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome back. Welcome back to another session of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Tech Talk Religion. I may have to make some apologies ahead of time. We're trying a new miking system, and I actually tried to install my end on my own without any technical support, so this may not even be recording. The audio may suck. So if it does, I make my apologies in advance, even though you'll never be able to hear it, and we'll, you know, make our apologies online, and we'll do it again. Today I wanted to talk about something a little different. I want to talk about a book that I'm soon to finish writing. Well, I'm soon to begin writing and to publish. And the title of the book is going to be called Stan, which is my name, Stan Wadsworth. Stan, a man called Christian. And this is a book that's been on my heart and mind for about maybe almost 2 years now. I look back at emails when I had tried to hire someone to become a ghostwriter for me. That was almost 2 years ago. So that's about when, well, probably a little before that, but maybe a couple of years. It's been on my heart and mind to really publish a book. I know anybody can publish a book these days, but the purpose of this particular book is to highlight some intimate details of my pre- and post-Christian life, and to honestly share the joys and struggles of that life through the separate lenses of life with and without the Spirit of God living within me. I think I've been all over this country, the United States, and I've talked to many people in various capacities. And as I talk to them about their Christian lives, I find that there are many are struggling. And many are not going to be as transparent as they would in a testimony at church many times, but maybe, or even in the intimacy of their friends. We don't have, I'm not going to say the capacity, but we just don't share all of those details, our most intimate details. And that's what I'm going to endeavor to do. And the reason being is so that I can share this and be honest and frank with others about my encounter with God, my previous life before God, and since I've been a Christian, which has been 30 years now. And so that's the purpose of the book. I think that it's it'll be a great read, and I think that it'll help someone. In my upbringing, I'll go over some of the things. I only have about 10 more minutes. We did this for 15 minutes because, you know, my group said that we don't need to do a whole lot of talking about it. But I want to get this out, so I'll be moving along really quickly. The highlights of the book is what I'm going to discuss here, and some of the things that I'm going to mention is my upbringing. I didn't grow up in a Christian environment. I grew up in predominantly a single-family household in the projects and public housing, and for the formative teen years, up until about the age 15, I lived in a single-parent family with my mother and siblings. After 8 years or so, my parents got back together, but I'll talk about more about that in the book specifically. I'm going to talk about the struggles. My fascination, I grew up in a decent family. My mom worked for nonprofit organizations and then for the school system. I just had a fascination with streets, with the street culture of the early 70s. And, you know, I believed to be a very intelligent kid. I just didn't want to do right. The result of that was 7 years and 3 months of incarceration, upon which time I did not give my life to the Lord. But what I did purpose then is that I spent predominantly my whole 20s in prison from 22 to 29. But when I got out, I was well-read and self-educated. I got my GED because I only had an eighth grade formal education, and I began to take some college classes after, you know, my incarceration. shortly therein. I don't remember the exact date. I really don't, but I know that it was in the late 90s. I gave my life to the Lord. Upon the call to salvation at Morningstar Baptist Church on Blue Hill Avenue, if anyone knows it, in Boston, Massachusetts. After doing that, all I knew is that I believed that it was the right thing to do after not doing it for so many other times, occasions when I had been to church and heard that call. I was slow to surrender. I didn't feel any different when I did it. I didn't know what the expectations was. I had no real discipleship, not because there wasn't any offer to me or available for me. It's just I didn't. I went on my way. And I still had an affinity for the world. 10 years later, God pressed upon my heart after that slow grind, a quest for truth. I had questions. I had a search for purpose and a desire to serve. That subsequently caused me to go on to seminary. And becoming interested in nonprofit social work. I had just about a two-year desert experience in the West Coast, and that's something that I'll mention in great detail because that was a really formative part of my life. That's actually when my transformation and my enlightenment all began. From that point, when I came back to Georgia from the desert experience in the West Coast, I had a new wisdom. I was a new man. I knew my Bible, and I had new devotion. I'll talk about that in the book because it's very interesting how that came about. But God's ways aren't our ways, and that's very true. In the course of that two-year stretch, my marriage dissolved. Many old relationships I had to abandon. I had this desire for celibacy, even though I was masturbating, which is not celibacy. But I did refrain from women for years. There was a sense of loneliness, and all this was going on while I was growing. And then came the attacks. You know, when you give your life to the Lord sincerely, the devil doesn't have to worry about you when you're loose and fancy free, and you're agent of what, you know, he willfully prompts you to do. But when you give your life to the Lord and decide to live a life that is incorporated where the Spirit of God is incorporated in you, that's when the drama begins. And we'll talk about that in the book as well, because there's a great many people that give their life to the Lord because of the problems in their life, and they think that just vicariously, by virtue of giving your life to the Lord, that things are going to be, all will be well. They will, all will be well, but that doesn't mean the issues of life won't still come. So I had great attack, which I still do, and a lot of my attacks came from relational, with God and man. I'll talk about that. They were matters of pride, if you ask me. There are financial attacks, where good and bad. When you're given too much, everything that you're given is not necessarily from God. And when you don't have, a lot of times is when you need to turn your attention to God. So I was attacked in both ways, financially, spiritually, which is something that's going on in my life currently. There's an oppression. I believe that God is pointing me and requesting me and requiring me to go to another level. And my flesh, obviously, has no part in God. And I just believe that there's an intense struggle going on within me right now, I think, which is in part is prompting me to move forward with this book a little sooner than I probably really want to. And then we're going to come to, in our book, where we are today. I'll talk a lot about where my mind is now, in terms of the legacy that I want to leave in life, how I want to help others through this book, through transparency and through other social endeavors, and just to proclaim the real goodness of God in a way that people can digest and actually incorporate into their lives. This is where my heart is at this point. And how I probably got to this is because the Bible talks about brevity of life. There's no probably. It's definitely. How I got to this is brevity of life. I've just turned 62 years old. And when I look back over the years, many of my friends are dead. There's many illnesses. People are coming up with cancers at young ages. Children, and young and old, are dying from cancers and other sicknesses. People are losing their minds, memory losses, and so forth and so on. all the racism that's going on in this country. Which they can be up a lot of times. We immortalize wealthy people, and when we see planes go down and young movie stars and athletes die, that has a sense to shake you up too. The fires that are going on, the rampant fires and the wars that are going on in this country, internal and external, the climate change, people's ears and hearts, which is the root of all of pride, are dead to the truth. They just don't want to hear it. People just don't want to hear the truth. Jesus being removed from Christmas celebrations, and now it's Happy Holidays, where it seems we're lifting up the holiday rather than the purpose for the holiday. Well, in my life anyway, we have countries now sanctioning microchip implants in their body. What does the Bible say about that? I believe it's Revelation 21 about, I mean, I'm sorry, 13, about how the sign of the times there would be chips that would be implanted in people in the mark of the beast, the 666. I see it's the sign of the times. That's how I conclude things. So these are the things that will be covered in the book. All of these things. I don't know how much of this you guys got. I know I'm talking, you know, New York fast. But this book that's upcoming, Stan, A Man Called Christian. The book's going to be, surprisingly so, I don't know if this has ever been done before, but this is something that I wanted to do, and I didn't research it. I ran it past my people that are going to help me, and I'm just taking the liberties to say that this book is the only book that I know of. This book's going to be written and progressively publicized online in chapters. So in other words, the chapters are going to be written one at a time, chapter one. It'll be publicized and put online for you to read, for the public to read as we go along. And I'm doing that because I don't want to delay and any kind of benefit to anyone else who may, you know, need this revelation or this understanding in their own life. The full copy will be available once the book is complete. And then, of course, there'll be a charge for that copy. I mean, I can't do all of this work for free. I'm not trying to get rich, even if it were to become a New York bestseller. I'll take it. But that's not my ambition and that's not my motivation. But I do need to live just like anyone else. So, and I just ask for your support. So, Stan, A Man Called Christian, pray for me. Pray that God would anoint me to be able to write this in a way that it would benefit not just me, but others as well. And up until the next time, God bless us. Bless those who are called by your name. And may the Spirit of God live and grow evermore in us each and every single day. God bless you all.